Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
This is the artist formerly known as Daryl Van Horn, James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, and I'm here to let you know I would rather slam my cock in a car door than to miss the dulcet tones of Hard Body Harper, my illegitimate son, on Booking the Territory Podcast.
Who messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where today we are covering WCW Saturday Night on TBS from September 26, 1992. If you listen to this on YouTube, hit like and subscribe to the channel. Harper greatly likes that, and so do the rest of us. And make sure you leave a comment as well when you're listening on YouTube. Those pesky algorithms like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and guess
what? Hit the little fucking thumb thing, bruh.
Like I said, hit thumbs up and then subscribe.
I don't know why it's so hard to fucking do that, bro.
And then
you'd fucking hit that goddamn bell too.
Yeah, that too. And then make sure you subscribe and post the comment, just like Matt Wilson and sometimes that idiot Jaworski does, and Michelangelo and Jose Corona and the rest of the crew who listens
Jose
to Harper's
Corona.
Instructions.
That's a made up name,
it's
isn't
not that it? Fucking Hyde.
No, Jose's a real dude.
Jose Corona. That has got to be a fake name.
No, it's his name on Facebook. He's one of our like longest tenured listeners and patrons.
What'd he do? Get across the border and have some kids?
Oh, he's going to love that. Because he gets pissed off at you. He didn't get pissed off, but he frequently quotes your comment about doing the Tavares Jackson thing, you asshole.
I don't even know what that means.
He doesn't even remember hearing. He doesn't even remember saying it. I'll tell you offline. Anyway,
I would suggest that you don't let anything I say get you too worked up.
We're talking about Bruno this week, but we'll get to that shortly because we have some other news to get into. But before we do that, Doc, let me ask you how you're doing.
Oh, I'm doing great. I feel like I've already got some people worked up, so I'm feeling good. I've got myself. I had the opportunity tonight. It's rare these days. I've got myself a glass here full of straight up. No chaser, no cut. Jameson whiskey.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. So I'm just going to be sipping on this whiskey and talking about this wrestling.
Harper, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Mills. How are you?
You're on from the beginning. That's a rarity, man. Not 5 minutes, 10 minutes in. This is great. We love having you from the start. It really makes things easier.
Bro, I'm watching the fucking Pelicans. They're on bounce tonight. They've been doing that about once a week or so.
Well, I got the Mavericks on too, so we'll have some basketball updates in the later portion of the show.
Nobody cares.
Oh, you know
about
what
the
I
NBA.
Did this weekend?
What's that?
Oh, I went to the TNA show at the Ilario Center.
I figured you were there, but I didn't want to bug you.
Yeah, I was there. It was a good show, bro. It was good shit.
I believe it. I don't have anything against TNA. I did see the champ was there too, I believe.
Oh,
working
yeah,
out
he
with,
was fucking yeah. running around back and forth. I saw him in Sammy fucking running around back and forth and shit doing crap behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
dude, nice.
Eric Young is fucking... Bro, you want to talk about a good fucking wrestler, bro? What the fuck, dude?
He's always been badass.
Yes. His strikes were fucking beautiful.
Doc,
Mike
he's telling us
tell,
something.
Mike and I tried to tell. Mike and I tried to tell everybody about Eric Young back when he stole that fella's prosthetic leg and was sitting at his living room with it propped up on the fireplace. Come on,
dude, Eric Young has been one of the best wrestlers for a long time, but he'll never get the recognition he deserves because. his time, almost all of his time, with the exception of a very, you know, his stint in NXT and in the main roster, Eric Young has always been a fabulous wrestler. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and tell you he's the best in the world, but he is fantastic. He cuts great promos. His in-ring work is fantastic. He is a solid professional wrestler. And he was a guest on this show in the very early years, like in 2015 or 16. Yeah, I had him on. We had him on at one point.
I don't know.
He is great. He is a very good professional wrestler. It's just a shame he hadn't been on a bigger platform. I mean, again, he's been on NXT and WWE. I'm not saying that, but it was short-lived.
Were there any girls in the crowd?
No.
Doc, I got a question I got to ask you. This has been burning in my mind for a week and a half now. Before I do that, shout out to Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassie, Mike Childrey, Joe Ice, good old Justin. Thank you for your generous support on Patreon each and every month and for being the sponsors of this show. No new patrons this week, but please become one if you're not one, because we do have a pay-per-view coming up. Plus, we have a clash in the rearview mirror, but tons of stuff on Patreon. And Doc and I may be doing some Dark Side of the Rings, not all of them. More on that later on the show if we can remember. Not all of them for sure, but there's a few we kind of want to watch and maybe comment on. Become a BTT patron at tinyurl.com/patreon BTT. Best way to support the show and get tons of extra content. Doc, I've been dying to ask you this for a week and a half, so I gotta get it off my chest finally. So I was perusing Facebook, which you should never do, even though we have a group full of filthy animals on it and booking the territory. Only become one if you can take a joke. I was perusing Facebook and I was on another Facebook group. And does you listen to Cornette's show regularly? I don't. Does Cornette call Nia Jax a refrigerator or the refrigerator? And hold on before you answer. Someone in a Facebook group was highly offended and doesn't like that Corny makes fun of people who are large. So, does he call her a refrigerator? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't mean to laugh, but does he do that?
I think so.
Yeah. She has a new sponsor. It's fucking Whirlpool.
I thought it was Frigidaire.
Yeah. It's fucking GE. That's fucked up. She's a beautiful girl.
She really is. She's not ugly. I mean,
there's a lot of good.
God. What is wrong with you?
I'm drinking tonight. I haven't been drinking lately, so you know what I mean?
The bigger the fupa, the better the chalupa is what you're saying, right?
Come on.
Stop it. Why are y'all...
Grow up.
Here's the thing. I don't know, but I remember one time on New Japan that Tomohiro Ishii did a front cannonball outside the ring, and I remember JR saying that's like getting hit with a dishwasher. So, I don't know that... I don't know that that's such a bad thing.
Well, let's say, I find it hilarious because I will say one thing about Cornette, love him or hate him. I think he's consistent with making fun of everybody. Like if he doesn't like you, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian. Like, I mean, he is an equal opportunity unprofessional, just I'm gonna call you rude names. And I found it funny that like there are literally people who get offended by that stuff. I'm like, why are you offended? What I keep going back to what I always say, Doc. You know what offends me? These goddamn rising prices on every freaking bill we pay in America nowadays.
Everything. Shit on the news tonight. They said cereal has gone up 25% since 2020.
Cereal, car insurance, home insurance, property taxes. You name it. We are paying hundreds, if not thousands more. Definitely hundreds.
They said we are paying $1,200 more a year since 2020 when it comes to groceries.
And that's just That's just groceries. And actually, that's underestimated when you got a family of four like mine and Doc's. I'm sorry, but that's underestimated. My point is, I don't want to go down that rant because people say I talk about that too much. My point is, if that offends you, you got a good life. You got a real good life. If him calling a woman,
and the sad part is that you don't even know that you have a good life because you're wasting it by being offended by dumb shit. Here's the thing: you want to not like it, fine, but you're waiting this long in the game to realize that Corny's going to upset you. Come on.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, but you don't even know that, girls. What you worried about?
Everybody's got a battle to fight, except the one in with their, between their ears. Come on.
Oh, speaking of that, I saw Top Dollar was at the TNA show.
Did you get his autograph?
No. One of Corny's favorite wrestlers.
That guy's terrible, man.
Come on.
He calls him Flop Dollar, doesn't he?
Yes.
The one that gets me is that he calls Takesh to take a shit when that guy's actually got a little something. And he's like, I feel bad about it, but the name stuck. My problem is I don't watch enough AEW. So the one time that I do, all I can think about is these are Corny's nicknames. Why are they calling him the wrong name? And then I'm like, oh, so that's what that guy looks like.
Yeah, for real, huh?
Doc only knows him by the Cornette
name. Yeah, that's how I am. The same way. The shoot name. Cause I can, oh, that's the Flop Dollar guy.
Come on. Oh, but that's, man, just, we're just disrespectful to the business. Now, speaking of being disrespectful, Ole Anderson died.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Hey, an original horseman has left the building.
Yeah,
the original. And I wanted to read something because did you see?
You've been working on your reading and it's getting better. Is that why?
We can't have Pioli for Doc to say something. So Arn Anderson posted something. He had a post on Twitter, said RIP Rock. He said each one, and I think this encapsulates Ole very well. Each one of us starts dying the moment we are born. Some of us live long, fruitful lives. Some die too soon. All I have been able to figure out in my 65 years is to treat people how you want to be treated. And if they teach you anything, be grateful for that. Ole Anderson was brutally honest when it came to how he felt about life and wrestling. He gave me the rub of a lifetime, taking Gene's spot in the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. The Four Horsemen followed, and we know how that went. He was a mentor to me without meaning to be. I studied, and I will teach my son Oleisms. To his family and people that loved him, we grieve with you. To those who thought Ole was too ornery to die, 81 is a full life. Man, Ole was a mean ass man. And you can't even say old man because he was mean for, well, even when he was young. But you can't take away his contributions from professional wrestling. Now, for us, that starts with, you know, TBS in the mid 80s and being a founding member of the Horsemen. But I mean, he had his faults, but on screen, Doc, what are your thoughts on Ole Anderson?
Well, the other thing about what you said is that if you stick around long enough in this business, they're not all going to be wins. So, I mean, you could sit here and take pot shots at the guy and go, he was the Black Scorpion. But, you know, he did a lot of things for a lot of people and maybe even not meaning to, like an Arn and a Flair, to be honest. Flair said he got, you know, tweeted he got the rub of being a cousin. And that's what got him. He said that's what really got me in the game.
Yeah, forgot about and that.
So, you know, there is the stuff where they closed the gate, the cage, and beat up Dusty, and it's a real riot. There's the one in with Thunderbolt Patterson. There's the thing where he turns on Dusty in like 1980. That was like an 8 month, what, a year long thing. That's a guy that contributed. You can argue about his methods. You can argue about his demeanor. He wouldn't last a second in today's environment, but I don't think he'd want to. I mean, that's one of the old originals that's now gone. And There you go.
Yeah.
Harper, you got thoughts on Ole?
I mean, he was one of the OG crusty old men, bro. And the thing is, when you've been around as long as he has, I mean, you're going to piss people off. Not everyone's going to like you. So.
That's my excuse for me.
But me too. Harper, you know this from being on the Mud Shows, and so do I. There's a million people you cross paths with. Not a million, but there's hundreds and thousands of guys you cross paths with that you go out there, they don't see a minute of what you do, and they patting you on the back when you come through the curtain, and, oh, brother, that was good. And they didn't see a second of it. Well, yeah. Ole Anderson was the exact opposite of that. Like, he didn't give two shits about telling you what he thought about you being the drizzling shits.
Yeah. And
so as much as people like bag on Ole for being this curmudgeon, and actually it's become a funny thing in, you know, last 20 years about how miserable he was, right? It's become just comedy at this point. You know, Ole's never happy. He's never smiling. Like, you kind of need at least some level of a person like that in wrestling so that you just have somebody who can be brutally honest with you at all times. And unfortunately, when you're brutally honest with people, you're going to rub people the wrong way and they're going to think you're an asshole.
Yeah. It's like Luke.
Oh yeah. He's miserable. Yeah. No kidding. He can be so miserable with certain things, but I mean, you kind of need somebody to have that brutally honest opinion. Because if not, nobody else is going to tell. Let me say nobody. Not many other people are going to tell you.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Ole, I don't know that I always like the shoot interview, or I don't like this and that and that, because I don't know that it catches guys in their best moments.
I mean, what's the shoot interview anymore, you know?
But that stuff is leaving the room, and it needs to be preserved because it ain't ever coming back. And if you cared about what happened, the time of wrestling that we review and before, you better have those stories documented somewhere.
Yeah, you're talking about like all the high spot stuff and everything that's been like done over the years with people like Ole and whatnot. You're not kidding, man. That stuff, like, that's all you got of many of these folks as they pass on. I mean, we say it all the time, like, we ain't getting no younger. And I mean, 81 is a full life. I mean, Doc, if somebody told you right now, hey, man, I'll sign you up for 81 years, would you take it? Oh. I guarantee 81. You taking that deal?
I'd run some numbers, but...
Yeah. I don't know. The way shit's going on now, bro, I hope I'm gone when the shit hits the fan, bro. I ain't even bullshitting with you, bro.
Okay. Oh, man. I didn't want you to say
Doomsday Harper is worried about the future.
I'm just saying, bro. The environment and the fucking the whole political climate we're in, bro. I'm just like, oh shit, bro. What the fuck's going on around here?
I guess we have our transition. So, RIP Ole, and this is a good segue into our next segment. The continuing adventures of Mars Blackmon. The sneakerhead, first of all, maybe, you know, you should buy some environmentally conscious shoes to reflect your new philosophies. Whatever. But so when we left you last week, you had purchased a nice pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Some tiny shoes. But we have reason to believe that you have purchased more shoes. So
I got them right here, bro.
All right. What are they?
Avias. Let's see. Hold on. Avia 830s. And they're beautiful because they're Dodger blue and the white. So it's the perfect Dodger colors. It's fucking Armando would fucking love these motherfuckers.
He's always Armando.
You off about them now? I didn't realize this if I'm looking for the pictures, but bro, they got suede on them, dude.
Well, that's not the worst thing.
I didn't know that, dude. If I know how hard it is to keep that shit fucking clean and
yeah,
it fucking stabilized, bro. It Tiffany's like, oh, I got you some suede cleaner. I'm like, I don't know if that's gonna be enough.
You need to spray that, get that water repellent stuff.
Scotch Guard.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, someone told me the same thing, but they look fucking tight, bro.
How much did you drop on these shoes?
These were like 80.
Wow.
And that's probably why, because they're a suede and not 100% leather, but forgot it. No, but they look fucking tight, bro. They fucking tight, dude.
He's got some tight whips on his feet.
Look at these motherfuckers.
He needs to just wear those instead of the loafers for Wildcat.
Oh, bro. These look fucking great, dude. It's like I'm going to go try out for the fucking Knicks.
So where'd you get these shoes? Let's give a free plug out to a merchant.
Amazon from somebody.
Okay. They didn't fall off a truck?
No. And the Converse I bought directly from Converse.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So, but you know, I got these shoe boxes, and I guess it's an old habit from when I was a kid. It's like I saved these shoe boxes, and I don't know why, but like I used to.
Because you can put some baseball cards in them.
Right. You're right. I got these damn shoe boxes, but I want to. Oh, man, I think she threw away the Converse one. I don't see it. Fuck. Oh, wow.
Did she throw it away, or did she recycle it? Because, you know, the planet's under attack.
No, she fucking chucked that shit. I think it's too late, bruh. Can't turn around now.
If Harper's just burning. Harper's just got a.
Oh, yeah, bro. Got my fucking Avias, bro. I got my fucking Chuck Taylors. And they're heavy as fuck, too, bro. They're like bricks.
So what are you going to get next?
The fuck, dude? Nothing.
No?
I don't know, bro.
We got a show next week. What are you doing?
Those fucking ponies were like 140. It's 130. I'm like,
God, damn, the world's coming to an end, like you said. Go ahead and go YOLO. Oh,
that's we'll be dead by true, we'll be bro. Dead by Christmas.
Oh my God. Harper's not a YOLO type of dude, and for him to talk like he just, yeah, that's why I splurge on the Avias and the Cons, man. This is about the end. This is about to be the end of this.
Yeah, this is me fucking celebrating the end. Fuck it.
He's gonna go out in cargo shorts and fly shoes and shooting his guns into the air.
That pretty much sounds, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I wear is cargo shorts now. I'm that white guy now.
I would argue you've always been that white guy.
Yeah. Because any other shorts to me look like I'm some dickhead that went to Ole Miss fucking law school or some shit. It's very, you know, yuppie looking. Fucking, you know, with a tennis racket and shit.
I can't do it either, man.
I can't do it either. I'm a cargo dude. My wife tells me all the time, that's all you wear is cargo shorts. And what's your point?
Yeah,
I'm with y'all. I can't look like I'm at Oxford Prep or whatever. Fuck that.
Right, exactly. I went to a poor state university called Nickel State. I don't wear loafers and shorts with just two pockets on the side and one in the back. It don't work like that where I'm from.
And those fucking Hey Dude shoes. But I mean, why are those so big? You seen those?
No.
Yeah. The missus bought me a pair of them. I had to quit. This is the oldest thing I can. God, I'm so old. I had to quit wearing them because I got plantar fasciitis and they didn't have enough arch support. So then I went and took some Geritol and went and had dinner at Luby's real early in the day. Those things suck, by the way. They're cheap.
Are we going to talk about the show tonight before we get going too long? Because I know you got a hard stop later, Doc. But this is September 26th of 1992. This week's episode was taped September 21st of 92 at Center Stage. Just the first half of the taping. The show opens with Jim Ross and the legend Bruno Sammartino Now, we saw Bruno at the Clash, so this isn't the first time we're seeing him. I mean, we saw him a few years ago as well. D-Man is going to be happy about this one. So if you're listening, D-Man, we know you cranked one off and blasted a Jaworski off. I don't know where Harper's at. He just dropped again. He doesn't look like he's on the call.
I think he's off to, like, go buy some more shoes.
His internet was dropping, I could tell, a little while ago.
Yeah,
let's see if he rejoins us. But we head straight to the ring for the first match, and there he is. He's back.
There he is. This is pissing me the fuck off, dude. It's off again, and I was hearing Doc talk about his dudes.
Yeah, they're not so good. They're not good. So you don't buy those. Buy you some real shoes.
That's why they're so big, then.
Because people are stupid.
I guess.
Hey, Harper. You missed it, but I was opening the show. Look who it is. It's Bruno.
Oh, what is Bruno?
Yeah, D-Man's going to be happy.
Now we can talk about...
Oh, my God. I bet you he didn't restart his computer. We can't.
You know he didn't. Why would he do that?
Harper, restart your computer. We can't hear you. Harper, if you can hear us, restart. We're going to call you back as soon as you restart. Doc, text him while I cover some stuff here. Tell him to restart because I know he can't hear me.
Hold on. Let me get this.
But yeah, we're talking about Bruno. Stop it. Stop it. We go to the first match immediately. It is Jake Roberts versus Dustin Rhodes. As the match starts, JR mentions a situation that happened with Cactus and Ron Simmons before they went on air. And JR says, stay tuned for more on that. Dustin works the arm on Jake for a while, grounds him a little bit, actually a lot. at the 9:20 mark of the match, as a timestamp, Jake is like faking a knee injury, but he was actually fine. He was using that to sneak Dustin and take control of the match. So that's what happens here. He acts like his knee is hurt. Doc, let me ask you what you got before we go to the finish of this one.
This is a main event quality match. I thought the first couple of minutes did a good job of Jake establishing Dustin as being a credible, you know, opponent. I had 440 for a timestamp, by the way. You just kind of skipped over me there, but...
Well, you were texting Harper trying to make sure he restarts his computer, which he never does. So we're at 435. What are we looking for here?
I like his selling. He's biting his hand. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Okay.
Why are you going to bite your hand if you're hurting so bad?
Just you bite down on a stick or something because it's, I don't know.
Okay, a stick is not your hand, though. Your hand hurts when
we don't have a stick. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
I don't care who gets mad at what I'm about to say next. Bruno's not good on color.
No. He's not a commentator. He wasn't a good promo.
Kind of makes you wonder what else he wasn't good at.
Bruh, it was just a different era when he was on top, man. You can't, that's why it's hard a lot of times to compare guys from different eras. There are, in reality, there aren't many guys who their work and skills translate across all eras.
Arn Anderson.
Arn does, sure. You know, Jay Briscoe, Arn. I mean, I think Jake would. Like, even Dustin Rhodes would. Like,
I think when you talked about him faking the knee, the beauty part about that was when he started doing squats in the ring to show the people that he had tricked this little sumbitch up. That was good.
I agree. Yeah, when he faked the knee injury. And then, because what he did was he faked the knee injury, and then Dustin's like checking on him, and then he takes control of the match at that point. It was really good. As far as the finish, Dustin is in control of things. He slams Jake a few times. He hits the bulldog, but Jake is too close to the apron or to the ropes. Dustin then thinks he's won, and he starts celebrating. Jake gets up, kicks Dustin in the back, hits Dustin with the DDT. Jake Roberts wins by pin. Doc, any other thoughts?
The crowd was up at the end. I think they handed out white t-shirts for him to wave. the crowd.
Like the Pittsburgh terrible towels.
I thought it was a great little opener, to be honest.
I really wanted Harper for this next segment because Bill Watts is going to piss him off big time.
Bill Watts is going to piss me off too.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, but it's just that this segment is just hypocritical Bill Watts at his best. So I tell you what, let's continue. I'm going to come back to this timestamp once Harper's back on. Cause he will get, we talk about not letting things trigger you and getting outraged. He's going to get triggered by Bill Watts.
I think I might too, honestly.
It's like, what are we doing here? Are you serious, dude? So yeah, we will come back to Bill Watts. We'll come back to that when Harper's back on. For now, we'll continue. Because, Doc, it's been a while, or it seems it has. Terry Gordy and Steve Williams are here versus Larry Santo and Chris Sullivan. Gordy and Williams are announced as the unified tag champs because they hold the NWA and WCW World Tag Team titles. They dominate Santo and Sullivan. This thing is going to end when Williams hits a stampede on Santo and they win. But what did you have from the match?
I'm starting to get worried and concerned about this because I really like them, but I can't imagine they're going to be around for too much longer, given what I know, what I think I know about timelines and whatnot.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with that. That's for damn sure.
That's good.
Anything else? I mean, it's not. I mean, you're pretty much right.
Yeah, I really like them. It was a squash. It should have been a squash. I mean, there you go.
Yeah. From there, we're going to go to JR and Bruno throw it to a situation that happened with Cactus, Jack, and the Barbarian from earlier in the day. So let's go to that footage right now, and hopefully Harper will be back once we're done.
Saturday night, Jim Ross and Bruno Sammartino back with you. Earlier today, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Schiavone was talking to Cactus Jack and the Barbarian from one of the cable systems for Halloween Havoc. Ron Simmons walked in, and Bruno, we had some very unscheduled fireworks.
Indeed, there was plenty of fireworks, which is just going to tell you what's going to be at the Halloween Havoc. You're going to have Simmons and the Barbarian. Now, the Barbarian's a big, powerful man, and Simmons is a champ. This is going to be a match that, folks, you cannot afford to miss.
Fans, here's what happened right before we went on the air today.
So it's Halloween Havoc available on Salmon's Cablevision. Fans, make sure to call your local cable system to order Halloween Havoc, Sunday, October 25th, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, only on pay-per-view. World title. Ron Simmons will defend against the Barbarian, along with Cactus Jack.
I want all you cable systems to understand that you right now are looking at the same thing that I am. The next heavyweight champion of the world. So Ron Simmons,
you couldn't get the job done. And look, I don't know what you call yourself, a manager, a trainer, that doesn't matter to me. But I do know this, tonight, Barry Windham and myself signed a contract to wrestle Butch Reed and the Barbarian. And from what I hear, Butch Reed is not even here. But listen, you're not getting off that light because you're going to find a partner for him. You've been bragging about how big and bad the Barbarian is. Hey, tonight, we're going to find out. And you find somebody for him, and let's get it on.
So the matchup scheduled later today, Ron Simmons and Barry Windham to take on Hacksaw Butch Reed and the Barbarian. We have heard that Butch Reed has not arrived in the arena yet. Obviously, Ron Simmons wants this match to take place.
You better believe it. I don't know who's going to replace Butch Reed because I understand he's tied up in travel or whatever, but somebody's going to be in there because Simmons wants to be in that ring.
Fans, let's go back up to Rhubarb Jones.
Man, travel not... or what? Travel or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Whatever, bro. You got lost.
Oh, my God. Bruno. We're talking about Bruno.
At least he sounds real.
I guess. I scripted. The English language has him in a sugar hold.
Come on. He was a good Italian-American.
He was.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Joe Paterno.
Come on.
Which one was, oh, that was the Penn State guy? No. Come on.
Come on, Doc. Seriously.
What? I'm just saying you don't know. You don't know what people do in their real lives.
I totally agree.
They shit on people's heads.
Okay. Can we do this show to have fun, not talk about the terrible things going on in the world, even though Harper thinks the world's going to end.
I mean, bro, just turn the news on. There it is. Israel, Russia. environment. Bush, I mean, old DT and BJ. I mean, wherever the Joe B.
JB.
Whatever.
He's using the initials because he doesn't want to get us in trouble on YouTube.
Yeah, it's the old man versus the red man. Who's going to win?
Oh, my God.
I'm an orange man.
Well, no, Harper, we purposely – did you restart your computer?
Yeah, dude. It's not – I restart it all the time. I don't know why okay. the shit it was doing that.
No, what, no one associated with this show believes that statement.
Oh, come on, bro.
All right. Well, we purposely skipped the promo because we needed you to hear this next few minutes bullshit.
I hope you took your heart pills before you listened to this, Harp.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to get triggered. Jim Ross is going to throw to a couple of announcements from Bill Watts. And just listen. Here it is.
Welcome back, everyone, to WCW Saturday Night. Jim Ross and Bruno Sammartino back with you. Bruno, what's your comments on what we're about to hear? But first, let's go to this pre-recorded announcement. Cowboy Bill Watts made a statement earlier this week regarding the light heavyweight tournament and also the off-the-top rope rule. Let's go to Bill Watts.
We have two very important announcements tonight. Last week, we had talked about the world's light heavyweight title because we had to strip Brad Armstrong since he was injured and unable to defend it for over 30 days. We talked about a tournament. Because of the contractual commitments, the logistics of contacting the top light heavyweight athletes all over the world, we're going to have that sometime after the first of the year. However, the fans made such a strong statement about my top rope rule that we're still going to address that because I believe that when the fans make a statement, we got to look at it seriously. The top rope rule as of today is rescinded completely in World Championship Wrestling. There is one situation where you can have a flagrant violation which will cause for a call for an automatic disqualification. And that's when if you come off the top rope and your man is laying prone on the mat and you drive your knee into his head or his throat, it's a flagrant violation. We got six or eight examples that we'll show you so you'll see what we mean right now. In this first example, there you see Rick Steiner climbing to the top, bulldogging Dallas Page off the top rope. That is now legal. In this example, in just a moment, you're going to see Ricky Steamboat, the Dragon, fly off the top rope in one of his high-risk spectacular moves with a cross-body block on the mask man. That is legal from now on. This is a more controversial example. Jushin Liger, one of the most exciting light heavyweights in the world. He comes off the top onto a man outside the ring. Again, that's legal as long as he beats the count back into the ring. Another very controversial situation with Ricky Morton, because it involves the knee and the man ends up prone on the mat. However, since Ricky Morton starts the maneuver here on the top, even though it's with the knee, the man wasn't lying prone on the mat when he came off on him. That is legal. In this example, Bobby Eaton, this will be a flagrant violation because he drives the knee into the throat and head area of Rick Steiner. That's a flagrant violation and he would be disqualified. In this example with the U.S. champion Rick Rude against the dynamite young Japanese superstar Sasaki, this would be illegal. This will be a flagrant violation under WCW rules because Rick comes off the top rope and drives the knee into the head and throat area. In this example again, Jushin Liger, his exciting high-risk maneuver. This is legal because even though the man's laying prone, he doesn't drive the knee into him. It's a crossbody block for the pin. Here's an example that the intent of the rule was designed for, to stop potential injury. Because when you got a guy the size of Big Van Vader, over 428 pounds coming off the top rope on people, somebody could actually be fatally injured. This was no longer illegal. This is a splash. He doesn't hit him with a knee. He drops that massive weight on their heads, but it's a splash. That's not a flagrant violation. It's not illegal from this point on.
All right, Bruno, Jesus, so the light heavyweight Christ tournament will be taking place in 93, but the off-the-top rope rule, the intent of the rule to not allow an athlete to come off the top rope and drive his head into a helpless opponent. What do you think of that rule?
I really think it's a great rule, Jim, because when a guy is hurt and he's out of it and somebody coming off the top rope could do extremely, could be an ending, you know, career ending. On the other hand, now, as it is with the new rule, I think that the guy on the mat, sometimes he can have an advantage, because if he's quick, if he's clever, this guy coming off the rope, he could be at a disadvantage. So I think it's a very good rule.
That's why we call them high-risk maneuvers, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk more about the off-the-top rope rule, but right now let's go back up to Rhubarb Jones.
Doc, did you get all that?
I have so many thoughts, but I think we should forget those and see what Harper thinks.
That felt like school. God damn, bro. The fuck was he talking about?
That was just...
That's a stubborn old man that can't give up the fact that he was shouted down by his fans and is still going to keep fighting.
Just say you can't jump off the top rope on somebody's fucking head or their neck.
Well, I started to wonder, and I'm not even joking here, is he slightly autistic?
Come on.
Well, they didn't... No, I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying they didn't diagnose shit like that back then.
Yeah. I mean, you were just like, whatever.
He can't let it go.
Yeah. Bro, that was the most horrible shit I've seen, dude.
And let's not forget this. He just so subtly took a complete, like, peanut-filled and corn-filled meaty shit on the light heavyweight division by saying, we can't get a hold of these little twerps, and so we're going to do this next year sometime. It's still September.
Oh, my God.
He said after the first was his exact words. After the first of the year, we'll get the tournament together.
Hopefully you dumb shits will forget about this so I don't have to do it. That's what he said.
That's exactly what he said. Keep going, Doc, because this... go ahead, Harper.
And then it's like, you don't need this... If your rule requires this many examples, then you need to simplify your rule. You know, if you can't tell me walking down the hall what problem you're trying to solve, you need to redefine your problem. Let's be real. You
what
are stubborn.
What problem are we trying to solve here?
He's stubborn, he's dug in, and he's not... I mean, don't take the vote if you're not going to listen to the fans. He told them, yeah, we're going to listen to you, but I'm still not going to give you everything you want.
Man.
Get the fuck out of here. And then they come back to Bruno's like, dee.
Yeah, Bruno can't do this, bro.
Well, we're talking about Bruno, but it's not positive, D-Man.
Yeah, because I remember when he was in the WWF doing this, and this, and
all I hear is, I think of Herb Abrams in the UWF when I hear him, and he was saying the same dumb shit about that product. So I don't believe you. I didn't believe you then, and I don't believe you here.
So Harper, I know you made a couple of comments, but what do you think about Bill Watts' comments right there?
Why? It was so confusing. If you're going to ban it completely. If you're going to keep it all, bro. Oh,
I don't know what he's saying, but he seems like he's in for a law and order, and I like it.
Jesus Christ.
I can't keep up with half of what he's saying, but fuck it.
Look,
that was horrible. I wasn't expecting that.
I've heard Bobby Blaze say what I'm about to say. I've heard Arn Anderson say what I'm about to say. I've heard Jim Ross kind of, you know, also say something what I'm about to say. The more complicated you make it for wrestling fans, not that wrestling fans are dumb, but the more complicated you make things, they got to think too much about what's happening in front of them. It's best to keep it elementary. It's two guys that are fighting. They're wrestling. You don't want to make it overly complicated for no reason other than you are old, out of touch, and you are a tyrant. That's the only reason that we had to listen to literally 4 minutes of this man vomit all over the screen, explaining what is legal off the top rope versus what is illegal. All because he's just gotta, he can't let go of his rule. Like, I feel like somebody in that room was like, Bill, the top rope rule's dumb. And they, and whether it was JR, Dusty, somebody, and Bill's like, nope, I'm sticking by my guns. And they're like, Bill, come on, sign of the times. You know, we got these great athletes. We can't just do this top rope rule ban. And what happened was he kind of gave up a little ground, but he couldn't give up all the ground.
That's right.
When he went this way with the rule. I don't know if that's exactly what happened.
And he ain't happy about any of it.
I'm purely speculating, but I've been in enough business meetings to know that's how it goes. There are no solutions. There are only compromises. And all Bill Watts did was compromise with the people were telling him, Bill, this ain't a good idea. I feel like that's what we witnessed, but it's stupid and it makes absolutely no sense. Because again, like, you know, it's like, okay, so you can come off the top, but you got to make sure you don't hit the head, you don't get the knee. And Harper summarized it right. You can go off the top, just don't drop your knee on somebody's head or throat.
Right. Just say that.
But Mike, you know this. That is, everybody else, once he did that, goes, man, what's he doing? Come on. Why can't he just, and somebody else looked at that guy and goes, do you want to be the one to go tell him that? No, I'm good.
Yeah, because there's only a couple of people there.
That happens in business each and every day around the globe. We're all like smiling into the Zoom screen at some stupid idea that nobody wants to do, but nobody wants to jeopardize or catch hell for it. So we all
basically.
Yeah. That's what this is. Kinda,
yeah. Just, I had to play it. I had to go back to it and play it for Harper because I sat there watching this in my, if y'all can see my note right now, it literally says he's got to allow the top stuff, but then he's got to give a lengthy explanation of what is not allowed off the top rope. Get the F out of here. This dude is a joke. Was my exact notes as I was writing this.
Mine was, he can't let this go.
He can't. He can't let it go. He cannot let it go. And it's just bad. No other way to put it.
Some kind of control. Something.
Yep. That's he's got shit on somebody's head.
Right. That's it. Come on.
God, come on. Jesus, Lord.
I'm speaking metaphorically, not literally.
Well, Bill Watts does take a shit on a lot of people.
Metaphorically.
I love hearing the story about how Pillman eventually is like, you know, oh, you just want to make me the highest paid jobber in the company? Sure, I'll do it. Like, Pillman called his bluff. Oh, you want me to take pinfalls and still pay me because you don't like me? Sure. I bet you Pillman could have whooped him too. I really think. I don't care how they talk about how tough Bill Watts was. He was just a big old dude. I bet you he wasn't as tough as they like to make it sound. He just was the head man in charge, so nobody wanted to push the envelope with him.
Okay, so this year at X-Rated, you're gonna wrestle the franchise, you're gonna wrestle Tommy Rich, and then we'll get you a special match against Bill Watts. Bull rope match.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll pass. Dude, Bill Watts, how old is Watts now?
80-something.
Yeah, exactly. He's an old man.
Yeah, whoop his ass.
Okay.
Nobody's above an ass whipping, Mike.
Any other thoughts, Harper, on Bill Watts?
That was the most horrible thing I've seen so far.
Oh, my God.
He gets the reverse everything award.
Yeah. That shit was horrible. Make no goddamn sense, bro.
Fuck. It really didn't. None.
That shit was as bad if you read the transcript as if you sent out Tim Horner to explain some rules on live television.
If the man is laying prone on the mat, you can't drive. You can't jump on. What? Stop. All right, we'll continue now. Let us go to the next match. It is Shane Douglas versus John Peterson. Shane is a 100% white meat babyface here who's going to dominate Peterson in about 2 minutes. Doc, did you have anything from Douglas here?
How much heavier does Shane get in ECW than he is here?
He gets bigger than this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think he was ever fat, but like maybe another 20 pounds.
Okay. At some point during this match, JR mentions to the people that Shane is a bachelor. Wink, wink.
Oh.
Of course.
He's a good-looking fella.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
He'd like to smell you right when you go poo.
Come on.
I guarantee you that's Bill Watts telling JR what to say, because Bill Watts came from a territory where Jerry Jarrett asked him where the blowjob's at, so he wanted to make sure he got over Douglas as, you know, a good Christian athlete who was ready to be a plumber.
No, he was a dean. He was a school teacher.
Okay. I got it.
Somebody's gonna message me and say, no, the plumber was T.L. Hopper, Mike. I'm not talking about that. All right.
No.
Any other thoughts on Shane winning, Doc?
No, I like this little push he's getting. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to. Yeah, he's going to get a nice little push. I mean, this isn't the end of it or anything. So, going to get a nice little push. All right, we'll continue. The next match is going to be Bobby Eaton versus Brad Armstrong. Man, I got some notes from this one, Doc, and I'm sure you do too, because they gave them a lot of time to get their stuff in here. So let me say a couple of things, and I'll throw to you. This might be one of the most technically sound matches that you're probably ever going to see on Saturday night, and I know we've seen a bunch of them as I say that. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing that we've ever seen, but it doesn't really get much better than these two, because they both sell their asses off. They're both extremely fluid. Nothing is wasted. They're just really, really smooth. Pillman at some point joins JR on commentary, and he runs down Brad Armstrong, calls him a coward, says he wants a match with Armstrong, but he's gutless and won't accept it. And Jim Ross says, I ask Armstrong all the time if he'll give you a match, and he says, yeah, I'm happy to wrestle Brian. Pillman is just going full heel here with anything and everything he says. He basically says, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, and I'll do anything to win at all costs. So he's got the pedal to the metal on being a heel here. Doc, let me go to you. What did you have from these two working a very technically sound match?
It was super smooth, too. I'm of the opinion that I have to be in the mood for the technical match without the personal issue. But if it's these two guys, sign me up, you know, just like you said. I thought it was just an old school technical match, though. These guys were great, not surprising. And I'm gonna tell you something else. Maybe we should cut Bruno from the roster and let Pillman do color, because he was tremendous.
Yeah, man, Bruno's bad, bro.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
And Pillman was great here, talking shit and just riling people up and calling people names, and he can't get a match and doing all the heel shit.
Dude, he's so great. His voice, like, he's just calling like Brad gutless, and it's just the way he delivers it and says it. You're like, this dude is phenomenal. And you're right. Because we're not hearing Bruno, who was boring us to death 30 minutes into the show so far, it's so refreshing. You're like, oh, yeah, can this guy just stay out there? Because he knows how to call
for
a
real
match and be a great heel. Uh-oh. So, yeah, I Harper's drowning. Yawning. I am with you on that. Doc, what are the thoughts on this match? It's very technical.
Yeah, but they did a great job, and I would say let's talk about the let's not talk about Bruno. Let's talk about the finish, because I was a little surprised here.
I'm not, but I'll tell you why after. So Eaton hits a neck breaker. We just saw it on the video version at tinyurl.com/patreonbtt. Become a patron. You can watch it there. Bobby Eaton then comes off the top, but misses the Alabama jam. My spine screams every time I see that. Brad then hits a side Russian leg sweep. Brad wins by pin. Really good match. Pillman says, if he has the guts, I will wrestle Brad next week when he grabs the mic. And I'm not surprised, Doc, because this is the era, if you believe Arn, basically Watts just treated him and Arn like glorified jobbers, I guess is the best way to describe it. They were just going to be putting people over a lot. Now, that's not true if you go look at the results every week, but I mean, when you see Bobby just clean pin, it makes you say, oh, yeah, let's just job him out, I guess. Now, it was a competitive match. It was, you know, they went 10 minutes, so it wasn't like he jobbed, but clean pin on a heel on TV, yeah. I mean, it does kind of surprise you a little. But remember, Brad, before the injury, was the light heavyweight champion, so we kind of got to look at it from that perspective, too. But
so if Bobby Eaton would have landed the Alabama jam, he would have been disqualified by the rules.
But he wasn't because he missed it.
Right?
I mean, yeah, because if you think about it, the Alabama jam.
Bullshit.
The leg lands on the throat, right, Harper?
Yes.
So, yeah, you're right. The Alabama jam
would make sense now.
Yeah, see?
God damn.
Yeah. No, you're on it, man. This is exactly why the rule's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Any other thoughts on this before we continue?
It was a great match. The guys were, everybody involved with it did a good job. It's just, you know.
See, now, I'll wait to see someone do something off the top rope and see if they enforce this rule now.
I guarantee the enforcement will be completely inconsistent. And you know what Watts would say about that? I don't remember if it's going to be called like this, but just hear me out. If it does happen, because I don't remember, I've been a long time since I've seen these. If it does happen, Watts will then come in, because this is what he used to do at Mid-South, and say, well, the ref has leeway to make a judgment call. That's what he always says. That's Watts' go-to playbook. Okay. He'll tell you that. He's already said that since he's been here. You know, you got to give the ref a little leeway to make a judgment call. That's what he's going to say.
Great.
All right. Yeah. Before we go to commercial, Jim Ross does say, when we come back, we'll take a look at Kensuke Kasaki. But we don't see that when they come back. I was looking at the results from this show, and it seems that when they posted this show, they did clip several promos and things from the version that is on the network and the version that we have. So that's why you didn't hear Kensuke Kasaki. I can't even say it.
You all right there, buddy?
It's a hard name to say. Kensuke Kasaki. If you try to say it.
Kensuke Sasaki.
Like the fireballs from Street Fighter.
Something like that, yeah. But let's go to Jake Roberts. He's got a very cryptic message. Yeah?
Okay, all right. I thought I lost y'all.
You didn't lose us. Dude, Jake might lose you.
I'm getting scared now.
Let's go to Jake Roberts.
Gentlemen, to say I'm uncomfortable be a gross understatement here, looking at a cobra snake. Jake Roberts, you heard earlier, you were in the situation involving Ron Simmons. He and Barry want to wrestle Hacksaw Butch Reed and the Barbarian. Butch Reed has yet to arrive. What is the status of that situation?
Well, let's get the first things first. The first thing in hand is Halloween Havoc. And believe me, Sting, spin the wheel, make a deal. Your time will be up very shortly. Trust me, because anytime you play with a snake, sooner or later you will be bitten. Now, that's the humane thing to do. If someone is injured, you put them out of their misery. Now, as for you, Ron Simmons, one career win does not make a career, brother. You gotta have more than one. You're worried about nobody being out here with a barbarian. Well, Cactus Jack, the good bird dog that he is, he tells me that you want it real bad. Well, believe me and trust me when I tell you this. Barbarian will not be alone. No. He will not stand alone. He will have that partner. That partner that he needs. Someone he can trust. Because I'll never, and you can tell by my blood-stained hands, I never leave a man alone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go up to Rhubarb Jones.
Jake's wild, dude, with that cobra. Doc, your thoughts?
Yeah, fuck that snake.
Yeah, I thought it was fake at first until I saw the little tongue come out.
That snake was real, dude. That snake was real.
Yeah,
the snake was a shoot, brother.
I don't like snakes.
Yeah.
No? Snakes bother you?
Well, not like right now because there's none around, but, you know, like we go to the zoo and I can look at some snakes and shit and that doesn't bother me, but like if I'm out walking and there's a fucking rattlesnake, I'm going to go the other way.
They got rattlesnakes around y'all?
We're in Texas. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but around y'all, though.
He ain't got no rattlesnakes around him. When's the last time you seen a rattlesnake?
Bro, y'all
just walking in your neighborhood.
Bro, there's bobcats in these suburbs.
Now, I ain't going to lie to you. There's coyotes all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but y'all don't got no bobcats, bro.
That's not true.
Do y'all?
There are too. Yeah, there are.
There's been sightings. Wow.
That's crazy.
There was a huge coyote couple blocks from me about a year ago, and there have been bobcat sightings.
See?
Man, wow. Wonder where the fuck they came from.
Did they keep building and encroaching on land? I don't know, man. I don't know.
So, rattlesnakes.
Suburbs, right, Mike?
Yeah, but I mean, dude, the thing is, bro, they are doing the amount of construction they have done in the Dallas-Fort Worth area since I've been here in 20 years and since Doc's been a kid. They have just pushed out to the outer limits of both cities. And, I mean, you just keep encroaching.
Stretch it out like a ring rat in the 80s, bro.
Yeah, you keep encroaching on the natural environment, and Bigfoot ain't out there, but there's coyotes and bobcats and all kind of crap, man, that they just, you know,
what can
you do? Yeah. All right, let's continue. Did you have any other thoughts, Doc, on Jake right there?
No, he was good.
And just so we're clear, I mean, he's kind of, they sent him out there because Butch is not there. So he's going to end up tagging in this match later in the show. They needed him to fill in, so I mean, Jake's kind of just being a good soldier right there. Just, all right, let me
imagine
just put
Jake
this promo
being the one that shows up and working twice.
Well, don't hold your breath on that after we get past October. So let's keep going. Nikita Koloff takes on Vinny Vegas.
You
talking about Nashie or what?
Vegas, dude.
Go to high school with him? Him and DDP are going to be the Diamond Exchange for a while. I don't remember their damn name. Anyway, Nikita is going to hit Vegas with the sickle and win. Doc, any thoughts on this one?
Is Nikita almost done?
He is, actually. I think Havoc 92 is his, I think it's his last pay-per-view. I don't remember if it's his last match in WCW.
Okay.
So he's getting close to being done.
I like, there's a part where Nikita flexes and Nash just kicks him.
Yeah. Nikita's in good shape right here, but look how small he is when you think about how big he was in like 86.
Yeah, no, he used to be a monster.
Man, he was jacked to the gills. God, he was jacked. All right,
and,
well, we'll continue. Oh, go
Bruno
ahead.
Is, again, else? Just god-awful in commentary
oh
here.
Oh, my God. Bruno is. And then here's the worst part about it. I'm not going to play it. They then.
Damn, is that bad?
Oh, God. It's horrible. You can watch it while I'll talk through it. But Jim Ross throws to Tony Schiavone, who's interviewing Bruno. They're in center stage. This is probably before the matches. Schiavone is a good interviewer in these segments. Obviously, he's been doing this forever. They start, you know, talking about things. And Bruno, they go show a replay clip, a short clip from the Clash 20. Bruno repeats his message. Another league turned wrestling into, this is what he says, literally, verbatim almost. Another league turned wrestling into something that I don't like. He says WCW is doing what he likes and the fans are excited about it. And that for that reason, he's excited. This goes on for like 4 minutes. Doc, your thoughts? I'm not playing it.
I had three words I wrote down.
Let's hear them.
Boring as hell.
Yeah.
Man,
I mean,
your entire platform is that you don't like what the other guy did, so you're going to try to help these guys. Did. And their check's clear.
Here's the problem. I'm not trying to poo-poo Bruno here.
Mm-hmm.
But did Southern wrestling fans knew who he was? I did. Harper did. You did. We knew him from the magazines.
I don't give a shit. He did impress me.
We saw clips of him from, like, WWF in the 80s, but it was long past our prime. Long past his prime. Like, we just didn't care. And that's not an insult to Bruno. It's just he was the organization up north. We were the Southern promotions, the NWA, Mid-South, World Class. We just, I
think it's Mikey and DFW. That's
Stop. Right. Nobody said that.
Thank you.
Mikey and DFW, I think it was him who sent me the tweet that said, we knew who Bruno was, we just didn't give a damn.
That's right. We didn't.
Does that summarize Bruno right now?
It's 100% true. Okay, so that's your guy. He's the guy that you want to be talking about down at the deli while you're getting a slice, but that ain't how we were living.
I guarantee you, Bill Watts.
You're living wrong. I'm just saying it ain't. You can't. I've heard Pritchard or other people say that Flair didn't connect with the WWF in 92 because he was seen as a Southern guy. Okay, well, if that's the case, then the same thing holds true here in reverse.
First off, yes. Bruce Pritchard is full of that bull doo doo.
Come on,
he's full of bull dookie. Okay, Pritchard is full of it. He's a stooge. Okay, let's be real here. He's full of it talking about Flair didn't connect. He's also full of it and was like, oh, we brought Flair in. They didn't know who he was. Man, shut your stupid mouth.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Like, that's a total.
The Saints signed some guy from the fucking 49ers. Like, no one knew who the hell he was. Yeah, okay, bro. Come on.
But, bro, we did not. Like, it's not an insult to Bruno. We just didn't care. And in this segment, oh my God, it didn't. We really didn't care.
Still don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of one bad segment. Oh, it was bad. Speaking of one bad segment to another, Jim Ross then throws to Van Hammer's. Hold on before you comment. He says Van Hammer's world premiere video, but this aired several months ago.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Didn't we see this already?
Yes. Why is this guy still? I don't want to even say why is he here. Why is he still doing this gimmick? And why are we playing this damn video again? Please stop this. And as Bobby Blaze has told me about Van Hammer, he was a good dude. He smoked Virginia Slim menthols. So, like, what are we doing? Did Bill Watts go like, oh, this dude's a rock and roller?
Don't call it a premiere if it's not a premiere. You don't know what the word premiere means.
They showed this months ago. Does he think we're real? Does Bill Watts think we're that dumb? Like, we don't remember this?
Yeah. Yeah, why would they show this? I mean, and he's not really getting pushed that big right now.
Bruh, I don't know, man. This is just bad. Oh, and by the way, once we come out of this, because I'm going to fast forward through it, we're going to go to Van Hammer versus Kenny McDonald from Jiffy Lube, Georgia.
Dude,
look at this guy, Hawk.
He looks like he ought to be a roadie. He looks like he's a roadie for Sawyer Brown.
Let me see again.
Hawk, hold on. I'm going to pause it when he turns around and flexes.
Oh, yeah. Looks like Travis Tritt, stunt double.
Here's a quarter.
I was dreaming.
Here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares.
Here's a quarter. Went call somebody. Yeah.
Down to the river. Okay.
No. I'm a member of the country club.
Yeah.
Who is this? Who does? What's this? What kind of cars does this dude drive, Hopper?
Oh my God! He drives a goddamn 79 F-150 single cab. He's got
what's the inside? What does it smell like?
Oh, like cigarettes, beer,
and bait.
And bait, yeah. He's got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made. If it wasn't for trucks, he wouldn't have tailgates. Come on, Doc. I met all my wives in traffic jams because there's something women like about a pickup, man.
Boy, them old men that drove them 8-foot beds, too, when they see a short bed, they make fun of you.
Like, I had an 8-foot bed truck. I had two of them.
I never did. I've never had a truck with an 8-foot bed.
Yeah.
Never had a need for it, but.
Right, yeah, me neither. It just happened to be a fucking 8-foot truck bed. I had fucking, all right.
You know what looks funny, though? Like, okay, so you think of an 8-foot truck bed, but it was a single cab. It was, like, no big deal. When you see a crew cab now with an 8-foot bed, you look at it.
School bus.
Right. You look at it multiple times if you're not, you know, if you're a truck person, you're like, God damn, that looks like it would not be fun to drive.
I tell you, dude, still to this day, nothing looks a single cab pickup truck, dude. Still looks fucking great, even though it's not practical for the most part, and fucking today's world, it just looks, there's something about a single cab pickup truck, especially one from the 80s, dude,
because it's classic.
Yeah,
who gives a shit about practical for the world? The world's about to end.
That's bruh, true.
If I didn't have kids, I would have a single cab pickup truck.
I've always wondered about the single cab pickup trucks. Right behind your head, it's the fucking back window. Bro, if you get into a fucking wreck and your head goes back, what the fuck? You ever think about that shit?
No, but what I really want you to do this week, before next week's show, is stop buying shoes and go buy you an old vintage pickup truck.
Oh, bro, trust me, bro. I gotta turn around from some shit, dude. Dude, fuck, I remember one time, bro, about 15 years ago, I was this close to buying one, dude. It was like a 75 fucking F-150, and I was so close. I was like, man, if I pull up in a...
Oh.
Oh, no. No.
Did we lose him again?
Getting back.
And almost Buick Skylark.
Okay, hold on, Hopper. You broke up. You said you almost bought a 70.
You started with a truck, and you ended with a Buick Skylark, and we have no idea what happened in the middle.
Yeah, okay, the last thing we heard was 75.
I came so close to buying like a 74 fucking F-150, bro. It was badass.
What happened?
See,
no, so dad was like, I'm thinking, dude, if I pull into the driveway with this, my dad's going to kick my fucking ass, bro.
Why?
Because I don't know.
You're a grown man.
One time when I was like 19, two things I almost bought. Almost bought a Harley.
Oh, God. That would have been a mistake.
when I was like 18, because I was working and staying at the house, saving up my money. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna buy me a fucking Harley, bro. My dad looked at me as like, "Are you fucking psycho motherfucker? You're gonna kill yourself." So I didn't get the Harley, and I almost bought a 74 Buick Skylark. Bad to the fucking bone, bro. But I didn't. I should have.
You could have driven around the Jive Tones in that car.
Yeah.
You could have been that Rocky King.
It was like the car from fucking, what's that fucking, with Kirk Russell, the Death Race, where he's the psycho stuntman driver. It was like something like that. Some Mad Max looking, bad to the bone fucking car, bro.
My first car was a 77 Skylark, Harper.
Yeah, but you had like the big, like, grandma one. This one was like a fucking muscle car.
Well, excuse me for living, asshole. I mean, damn.
You don't know how poor he grew up. He got that car like 6 months ago.
Harper, you should have got that. I would love to have an old pickup truck now like that, Harper. I wish I knew how to work on vehicles, because if I did, I would have like a 1980 Chevy or
F-150. Yeah, like an old school Silverado, bro. Fuck, I'll take that shit, dude. Single cab, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the old fucking Blazers, bro. The big full-size Blazers. With that big-ass spare tire on the back of the fucking thing. Dude, imagine if you got a flat and you got to take that bitch off of there, bro. Cause that's a full size fucking tire.
Good luck.
Yeah, you like fucking hold it, fuck.
This is all right. Car talk with Hard Buddy Harper.
Kenny McDonald
made me think of this. I mean, look at him. I spell TROUBLE.
Oh man, well, he's wrestling Van Hammer, and as you could imagine, Van Hammer is going to hit the Hammer Rocks slingshot suplex and win. Wrong guy won. Doc, your thoughts?
Ugh.
Yeah, me too. This doesn't make sense. Yo, all right, coming out of that.
A fake wrestler. Like if it was a TV show and they had a segment where they showed someone wrestling, that's what they would look like, Van Hammer.
Correct.
That is a great analysis.
He Hollywood. Looks like dramatization, yes, of a real wrestler.
Right.
Yep. A bad one. Well, we come out of that. Van Hammer wins, obviously. And we're going to go to Terry Gordy and Steve Williams, who are with JR ringside. Here it is.
I'm here with the Unified World Tag Team Champions, Dr. Death Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy, who will defend the World Tag Team Championship right here next Saturday on WCW Saturday Night. I don't know who your opponent's going to be, gentlemen. I'm sure that you don't either, and probably don't really care.
Hey, that's right. We don't care, Jim. You know, it's like this. We have went out and did the impossible. We have went out and did something that every tag team in the world is dreaming about. We have put two world championship titles together. Now, I'm telling you right now, that's what a lot of teams like the Steiners and people like that are dreaming about doing. Now, let me tell you this. These are our world titles, and we worked hard for them. Now, I think it ought to be up to us who we put these up against, and I think you ought to get some young talent out here. Get some Rhodeses. Get some Watts. Let's see what they can do. We don't beat everybody else.
Well, Doc, I know that apparently it doesn't make any difference, but the promoters are going to put some great challengers. There's some great teams. Anderson and Eaton, Steiner Brothers, Windham and Rhodes. A great team will be here next week to challenge you.
Well, Jim, you know, it's slowly on the top, and everybody's gunning for you. Well, I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter who signs the contract. Me and Terry will take on anyone. You know, TBS talks about equal opportunities. Well, you know, you got some young punks out there who would like to sign the contract. Well, hey, you know, you got Bagwells as my partner named off the list. So, hey, all we say is sign the contract and get up in the ring.
Well, Doc and Terry may prefer to take on a younger team. We'll see what the promoters think next week. And fans, when we come back, it's that big tag team matchup we were telling you about. Ron Simmons and Barry Windham to take on the Barbarian. Who will his partner be? We'll find out when we come back on TBS.
I mean, I could actually buy this promo if I knew they weren't about to be no more.
That sucks, man.
What's wrong with Dr. Death's throat?
I was about to ask the same thing.
Well, didn't he have throat cancer? I mean, not back then, obviously, but wasn't that what he passed away from?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Look, I don't know if that's what's wrong with his throat right now, but yeah.
Hey, my thing was, sometimes JR has a propensity to oversell his guys, but not here. I love Gordy just out there with his southern drawl talking shit and like, I'll whoop his ass, and we worked hard and whooped his ass.
Yeah, see, I couldn't see a guy like that now. Some big, tough,
and it's so needed.
Redneck. Yeah, some big, tough, redneck motherfucker that don't give a shit, dude. I can't see someone like that in today's wrestling world.
Imagine if Gunter was from Alabama.
Right.
That dude's big, badass.
Some
he is badass, but
dude from fucking, you know, who gives a shit Texas, who don't give a fuck about anything.
God, did wrestling needs that.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take my money. I'm in. But you do need like Gordy's. It's kind of like all shucks a little, but he's a big raw bone country boy who is just ready to whoop somebody.
Either one of them give a shit about anything but beating people up.
Yeah.
You want to sign them? Okay. We'll take them. What you got?
So we go to the main event of the show after that. And like I said, it's a shame that these guys ain't going to last much longer here together, that is. Ron Simmons and Barry Windham are taking on Jake Roberts and the Barbarian with Cactus Jack at ringside. Doc, I'm going to go to you. I got one time stamp for sure, but let me get your thoughts on this and what you might have.
Well, I guess if you're going to have Jake, you might as well work him twice while you got him, since you don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah. Might as well get your matches out now.
Yeah. These are four big fellas in the ring.
Yeah, you're going to get a little bit more than a month, I think, more from Jake.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's what we're going to get.
I thought they did a good job here of making Barbarian look credible as a guy that could do this.
Let me play a timestamp for y'all. It is right here coming up. Hold on. I'm going to play the audio. Here it is.
Now face-to-face, nose-to-nose, and let's see who delivers the first blow. Oh, double tackle.
Both men getting some extra momentum, fans. We're about 30 seconds or so away from having to take a break. As is customary here, we will keep our cameras taping. If a decision is rendered during the commercial break, we'll show it to you as soon as we come back. Oh, he caught him! Big Ron Simmons caught him with that clothesline, but the Barbarian's back up! He got right back up, Bruno!
He got right back up, and he came on Barbarian. To Simmons, and he's got him again.
You see Barbarian no-sell that lariat from Simmons?
Yeah.
That's badass, man. I mean, the crowd went nuts, and then he just no-sells it. That was pretty damn incredible.
Yeah, that was good shit, man. And it's so simple. They're not doing anything spectacular.
You don't have to.
They did what? They collided in the ring twice, right, Harper? Right. Two big men collide. Yeah. Nobody takes the bump, the tackle.
Yeah, ducks the clothesline, comes back, and boom, and drops it with a clothesline. He just jumps back up again.
Unreal. And the crowd's reacting, and he hits Barbarian with the lariat. Barbarian does bump and kind of staggers for a second, and he's right back up. Sick him.
Get that Bobcat.
Man. Anyway, Doc, what other thoughts do you have from this before we go to the finish?
I thought it was a stupid finish.
Well, I mean, you got like, see, first off, they threw this crap together because Butch ain't here, right?
I have an alternate finish if you want to work your finish, and then I'll tell you what I had.
Okay, an alternate finish as you, to say what you thought it should have been?
How I would have booked the territory.
Oh, okay. All right, so Wyndham, Barry takes the heat for a while. So as we go to the finish, Wyndham reverses a DDT attempt and picks Jake up and slams Jake, which I like that little move we just saw. Wyndham makes a hot tag to Simmons. Simmons comes in. He's on fire. He's just laying in the Barbarian and Jake. Simmons hits Barbarian with a spine buster. All four guys end up in the ring. Barbarian's going to kick Simmons with a big boot. Cactus gets in the ring. It's then out of control. Bell is ringing. Barbarian comes off the top rope and headbutts Simmons. And Van Hammer and Dustin Rhodes hit the ring to stop the attack on Ron Simmons. And then Simmons and Wyndham win, but Simmons is beat down after the match. So basically, we get a DQ. What did you have? What is your alternate finish that we should have had, Doc?
I would have had some kind of in the schmoz, have Jake DDT Ron Simmons and have Barb pin Ron Simmons to make him look like he could do it, but he had to have Jake's help to get it done.
Yeah, there you go.
So you would have pinned your champion clean. Well,
yes, I not clean.
Why not just pin Barry in that situation?
Well, you could do that, but I don't know. I'm just saying,
I think it's better to pin the territory. Oh, no, I'm just saying, I think pinning Barry, I agree with what you said. I just would have pinned Barry, not my champion.
Okay. Let's look at these pay-per-view buys.
Come on.
It kills me because I've heard.
We're a TV company now. We're not a wrestling company.
It kills me because I've heard Watts talk about this era. And let me know if you agree with this, Doc, as we were getting ready to rate it and hand out the 2-2 award. Watts talks about this era sometimes, and he's like, yeah, you know, I put the belt on Ron because I saw a real athlete, you know, a guy from FSU who was a legitimate, you know, football star, had his jersey retired. We haven't had Bobby Bowden come on TV and cut promos for him and talk about him. And he's like, but when Ron got the belt, you know, it was like he was timid and it just wasn't working like I wanted it to. And I'm thinking to myself, he's so full of shit. Have you seen anything wrong with Ron Simmons' title reign so far?
Hell no, man. This is great. And what sucks is we know it's going to end
quickly.
Well, he's going to have it till, I won't say the date, but
that's what sucks. It's like watching a Smoky Mountain back in the day. You know it's going to end.
But like, I've heard Watts talk about it, and he's telling you, he sounds like, oh, you know, it was great. I loved doing it, and it was so wonderful. But when Ron had the belt, you know, he was just a little timid. I don't know if he was unsure of his work and himself. I'm like, get the piss out of here. Ain't nothing Ron Simmons done to this so far as we watch that was timid and bad. Get out of it. That's just Bill Watts being Bill Watts. Anyway, let's continue. It's time to rate it. Hand out the Toot Toot Award. Before we do so, remember, the only way you can get access to the upcoming Halloween Havoc pay-per-view review is by going to Patreon at tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. Great way to support the show. Get tons of extra content. Over 400 Patreon exclusive shows are there. Doc and I are probably going to do a few Dark Side of the Rings, the ones we're interested in. That'll be up on Patreon as well for you. Again, tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. We talked about Bruno this week. Bruno was on Clash 20. That's available on Patreon right now as well. Doc, let's rate it first. What are you going to rate this one?
Real quickly before I rate it, what will be on Patreon is nice, but what won't be happening is if you hate me, then your Christmas present comes early this year. I will not be on the next two episodes of this show.
Oh, no.
I have some a work trip and a personal trip planned. And so I'm sorry, Harper, but Mike Crockett will be filling in.
Oh, fuck. Who's going to throw up the layup for me?
Crockett does pretty good, man.
No.
Yeah, he does. You're gonna have Crockett's not bad.
You're going to have to learn how to get your own buckets.
Oh, fuck, man. I got to deal with Crockett.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, if we're going to rate this episode, unfortunately for this one, the good does not outweigh the bad. And it's do you have psoriasis, Harper? Are you over there scratching?
Oh, yeah, I hear that. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say that this is a B-, and I feel generous.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a B- too.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Harper?
I tell you, yeah, that sounds a B or a B-. You know what? Yeah, maybe a C+ or a B-.
All right.
I mean, Watts killed the whole fucking mood, bro. But talk about a hard-on killer, dude. Jesus, buzzkill. Fuck. Dude, the fuck was that about?
This was hard. Harper nailed it. It is very hard to rate this because, like, as a whole, the episode is not bad. Because Jake Roberts wrestled Dustin Rhodes. You have Bobby Eaton versus Brad Armstrong. But when you throw in... And even the main event in the tag match, it was fine. I'm not even downgrading it because of Van Hammer. But when you listen to that explanation from Bill Watts, and then, so we got 4 minutes of that, and then we got another 4 minutes of Bruno. It was like, that's 8 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
It's almost like, look, if you put your hand, and you grab the face mask, that's not a penalty. But if you pull, then it's a face mask penalty. Then no, it's either one or the other, bro. The fuck?
Right.
The fuck?
Right. You can grab the receiver as a cornerback, and we won't call a penalty. But if you grab him and pull him, we'll call a penalty. Wait, hold on. You're still grabbing him. You might not be pulling him with a lot of force, but you're still holding him. Like, which one is it? Bill Watts basically said, okay, here's how we're going to do field goals. When he kicks a field goal, if it goes through the goalposts, it counts. But if he kicks a field goal and it barely goes over, we're only going to give him a point.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's overthinking simple shit.
Bruh. It's not that hard. So I'm with you. Yeah, it ruined the mood. I'm still going to go B-, but Bill Watson is an idiot. Somebody's going to clip that. All right. So Harper Rado, 2-2 to war, Doc. Who are you giving it to?
I'm going with Brian Pillman tonight.
I think I agree with you. Brian Pillman. Yeah. I'm going to go Pillman. Harper?
I've been minded. Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
That one makes sense,
not
too.
Not a bad.
No, not at all. All right. So that just about wraps things up for this week. As Doc said, the Jimmy Jam Garvin of BTT will be back next week for the next 2 weeks filling in for Doc as he is out on business and personal. He just leaves y'all. He's got to go do his thing. But the Jimmy Jam Garvin, Mean Mike Crockett from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing will be back, and he'll be here to have a lot of fun. And it's always a fun time with Crockett. Not that he's Doc, but Crockett is a lot of fun. So there is that. Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
I'm whooped, man. We went longer than we were supposed to, and I blame you for that. So what are we doing here? This is free content for the free loaders, and I don't appreciate it.
You see how he talks about y'all?
Not all of them. They're not all freeloaders. Some of them are paid good money to be here, and we're doing this show for them.
You got to stop that, man, because people get on social media, and they start quoting you, and they become a parakeet like you. And it starts wars on the Facebook page and on Twitter and between the patrons and the non-patrons. Man, I got to give you credit, man. you have a following. It ain't as big as Corny's, but you have some severe docaholics out there. They're like, Doc's always right. Screw everything. And they will make sure they go at people who don't like you.
Well, I mean, there's no reason not to like me, first of all. Second of all.
Spoken like a true narcissist.
Well, I find it hard to believe that anybody listens to this show and takes it that much to heart. But if anybody would, it would be people that like me. So there you go.
There it is. All right.
There it is. Right down the middle, just like everything else.
Right down the middle. All right. Well, on that note, Harper, do you have anything? If not, hit the tagline.
Fucking gotcha.